It's Dates with Destiny.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Ahead of a huge deadline, Chrysler has apparently cleared a couple of axle-blowing potholes. Sunday, it reached a concession agreement with the United Auto Workers and has won ratification of its cost-cutting deal with Canadian auto workers. By Thursday, the automaker has government orders to either restructure with a partner, Fiat, or file for bankruptcy. That leaves Chrysler negotiating with its creditors, and we're going to talk about that back and forth later with Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan. Mexico has reported at least 1,600 cases of suspected swine flu. More than 100 people have died. Other cases, milder ones, have been found in California, Kansas, New York, Canada, and New Zealand. And the virus is already having an impact on global markets and trade. Here's Marketplace's Steve Henn.
At this point, not a lot is known about this variant of swine flu or the outbreak, but
at this time, I think it's fair to characterize our assessment of the situation as serious.
That's Dr. Keiji Fukada, Assistant Director General at the World Health Organization in Geneva. He says the question is how easily this virus spreads from infected animals to humans. But China's not waiting for more information to act. Overnight, it banned imports of live pigs and pork products from Mexico and at least three U.S. states with confirmed cases of the disease. Andy Rothman is a China strategist at CLSA China Pacific Markets.
Definitely, the Chinese government is going to err on the side of caution now after having some rough experiences with SARS a few years ago and more recently with bird flu. So they're going to be very, very careful.
China is the world's largest pork consumer, but Rothman says this ban will have a tiny impact on world trade. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Asian markets closed mostly lower today. The Hang Seng fell more than 2.5%. European shares are down across the board. The Dow closed last week on an up note. It added 119 points. S&P and NASDAQ shares added 1 to 2%. President Obama hosts a meeting today in Washington that could set the stage for how governments tackle global warming. At the same time, House lawmakers may have a new version of a climate change bill this week. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, here's Jennifer Collins.
American power producers have a message. It goes like this.
1, 2, 3, 4. Give me a break. Give me a break.
Utilities are worried about the expense of a proposed cap and trade system. The system would require utilities to buy rights to pollute. Mark Crisson of the American Public Power Association has another idea.
In the initial years of the program in particular, give away for free the allowances necessary to allow power plant operation.
Now, House Democrats are considering giving away 40% of the permits. Environmental economist Robert Stavins of Harvard says there's room for that.
There is, in my mind, a sound argument for targeting the freely allocated allowances to the most burdened sectors of the economy.
Those include regions dependent on coal and utilities serving low-income populations. But free permits mean the government makes less money. Money that's supposed to fund alternatives to fossil fuels. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
So, given the U.S. economy, what is the ideal interest rate? According to an internal analysis over at the Federal Reserve, minus 5%. The Financial Times this morning says the assessment is based on unemployment and inflation, but don't expect the Fed to make any announcement like that after it meets this week. Central banks can't take rates below zero. The research does say the Fed should keep up with unconventional policies to help stimulate the economy.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivin Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivin.com/new offers.
I mentioned Chrysler at the top. They made progress over the weekend with its unions, all on the heels of a big deadline for some sort of restructuring this week. That leaves the automaker negotiating with creditors, the ones to which it owes nearly $7 billion. On the road to some kind of agreement, there will be no shortage of adrenaline.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Yeah, Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joins us now. Alan, what are all the parties trying to do in this final week?
Well, what we're facing is a game that they play in bankruptcy court all the time. It's called chicken. Do you know the game of chicken?
I know it well.
Right. Well, some of our audience may be more cultured than you and I are, so I think I ought to explain it, which is somebody, say, Steve gets in a car and drives toward me. I get in my car, I drive towards him, and the question is, which one of us chickens out and goes in the ditch before we hit?
Yeah, I don't like the scenario at all, Alan.
No, I don't like it either, especially since I'd probably chicken out right at the beginning. But bankruptcy people are professional chicken players. So what you've seen is a lot of chest pounding and carrying on, both in the Chrysler negotiations, which pits the Treasury against the creditors of Chrysler, and also in the second set of negotiations, which I'm sure we'll be talking about in a few weeks, which is the General Motors thing, where the same game is going on. And GM actually now has a real deadline because they've said, we are not going to make a bond payment that's due at the beginning of June. And that starts the clock ticking, where anybody who owns these bonds and doesn't get paid could pretty much put General Motors into bankruptcy. So that's going to have to get settled.
And so what happens in the end here?
Well, I suspect at the end what happens is that there may be a company called Chrysler, but it won't be owned by the United States, and many of its plants in the United States will close. Ford is cutting and cutting and cutting and may scrape by, I hope it does, and make it without any government help. And GM, it's a really ugly situation. And you could see where, again, a whole lot of GM facilities are going to close. They're going to employ a lot fewer people. They're going to do a lot less borrowing. The only question is whether this happens as part of a bankruptcy or some reorganization outside of bankruptcy court, which matters to a whole lot of people. But for purposes of our conversation, it doesn't matter if you're looking at what happens to the companies.
All right. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joining us. Alan, thank you.
You're welcome.
Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being here. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.